We're going to read two scriptures. The first is Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It speaks of the Word of God dwelling in us richly. But it's really James 1, 21 through 25 that tells us how that happens. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then James chapter 1. Verses 21 through 25. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Let's pray and ask for God the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds through his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word reads our hearts. It divulges to us through the Holy Spirit our need for you, our need for your grace and your promised grace, so that we might be a people who are faithful to you. We ask that you would speak to us through the power of your word to nourish and strengthen our faith in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is the word of God that unlocks the door to a vital and growing relationship with Christ. You cannot have a vital relationship with Christ, a growing relationship with Christ, if you are not growing in your knowledge and submission to the Word of God. So this morning, are you growing in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because you are planting yourself in the Word of God that was originally planted in you when the Lord brought you to himself? Or have you drifted from the Lord, and so his voice is a faint to you, is no longer precious to you, and you're not submitting your will to the will of God as expressed in his word? Which are you? These pleasurable commands in Colossians 3, 16 are written to believers in Christ who have been united to Jesus Christ in his death, meaning Jesus indwells them, and sin is more and more being put to death, and also the character of Christ is progressively growing. And the pleasurable command is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, fully. Let the word of God dwell in you fully, so that that word overflows from you in your relationships, so that you model the truth in your relationship, so that the word of God is a blessing from your life. Pastor I had growing up, used to say this. I think it's a pretty well-known little couplet. These two are married and never part. Dust in your Bible and a drought in your heart. How does the Word of God dwell in you richly? Well, James answers that. First, let the Word of God dwell in you richly by renewing you on the road to salvation. So James 1, 21 and 25 is also written to new believers in Christ. In fact, all believers then were first century believers. Reminding them, affirming to them how to possess salvation. You may say, well, I thought we were already saved. Well, we are if you've trusted in Christ, but salvation is three tenses. It's not just past. It's present and it's future. Why does the Lord say in verse 21, receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls? Notice that James, unlike the Apostle Paul, does not tell believers to put to death sin. He does not tell believers to put on Christ. Yes, he believes it, but he's emphasizing something else in this passage. He's emphasizing how God can transform you. Isn't that wonderful? Because you need to know how God's going to transform you. Receive the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Let the implanted word of God dig itself deeply into the roots of your life so that you grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he becomes more precious to you. It's the Word of God implanted in us that transforms us. The Word of God planted in you that transforms you. It instills faith, and it assures you of God's continued mercy. It instills faith in the Word of God, renewing your faith, so that you grow in Christ on the road of salvation. And the reason James emphasizes the Word of God, which is able to save your souls, is that salvation is past, present, and future. The past tense of salvation happened when the Lord Almighty implanted his word in your heart. You heard or read about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit gave you faith in Jesus Christ. You confessed you were a sinner, and your only hope of salvation is Christ, and you were delivered from the penalty of sin. That's the past tense. Deliverance from the penalty of sin. I have been crucified with Christ, past tense. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the faith that I now live, I live by faith. In the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, past tense, and gave himself for me. That's the past tense, that Jesus Christ has cleansed you of the dark stain of sin through his precious blood and washed you internally. Can you say that this morning? Yes, Jesus Christ saved me in the past. Stories told about a little girl, well, Sunday school teacher asked, is there anything God cannot do? A little girl said, God cannot see my sins that I've confessed through the blood of his son. In other words, God will not penalize me for my sin and condemn me. Isn't that wonderful? Now there's a present tense, salvation in the present. We read in 1 Corinthians 1:18 that we are being saved through the power of the cross of Christ, the present tense of salvation. When God delivers us from the condemnation of the sin, that doesn't mean the devil has given up and is not going to attack us. In fact, he'll attack you even more because now you're no longer his. You're God's. And Satan hates God, so he hates you. And he will keep on tempting you. He will keep on assaulting you. He will keep on attacking you to drive you away from God. And the remedy to overcome Satan is to fill your mind with the Word of God. The Word of God is a sword of the Spirit. It's our offensive weapon against the evil one. And when we meditate on and memorize and plant ourselves in the Word of God, we are renewed spiritually in our minds and equipped to say no to sin and yes to Christ. So there's the past and there's the present. In other words, present growth in our relationship with Christ so that more and more the power of sin has less power in our lives. And then there is the future. Isn't that going to be a glorious day when we will see the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns or when we go to be with him? And we will be forever relieved of the possibility of sin. Are you looking forward to your future glorification? When the work begun by Jesus Christ in the past in saving you continued now through the power of the Spirit of God using the Word of God is completed. That'll be a glorious day. So the salvation in three tenses. And James' emphasis is the Word of God is able to save your souls because it is God who stands behind his word. And if God has indeed promised that he has saved you through Christ, is saving you through Christ, will save you through Christ, you can be certain that he will be faithful to his word. Jesus said in John 10, not one word of God can be broken. Not one. This entire book, not one word will ever be broken. Stake your life on it. We need to read it. We need to meditate on it. We need to apply it in our lives to be renewed. Romans 12:1 and 2 says, therefore, in view of God's mercy in Christ, present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual offering. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, God has given us so many wonderful promises in his word. There is a Puritan writer who used to say, whenever any believer comes to a promise of God, he ought to put his hands over it. And he ought to say, this is my inheritance. It is mine. And I am going to live on it. There are promises of God's mercy to us in our sin. There are promises of forgiveness in Christ. There are promises of God's power to change the most sinful heart. There are promises of strength to enable you to fulfill your responsibilities. There are promises of comfort in sorrow, of help in trouble, of glory beyond the sufferings of this life. Learn them. Put your hand on them. And say, I am appropriating them by the power of God. Okay, there's renewal. But then receive the word of Christ with a repentant heart. You notice what Again, what James says, you want the Word of God to dwell in you richly? Well, you have to receive it. Now, there's more to this word receive than we might think. But here he says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive. Now, there are two words in the Greek language that are used for receive. One is where you take the initiative and you take something. You know, I took it. I did it in my strength and I took it to myself. I grabbed it. That is not the word James is using. He's not using the word I take and I grab. Because you cannot just take and grab God's word in your own strength, by your own determination. It takes all of God's grace working in you for God to be made real to you through his word. The second word for receive is another word, and that means to welcome the word of God as if you were welcoming a guest in your home. So that the Word of God is precious to you. So that you see the Word of God as God Almighty meeting with you through His Word. So that you aren't casual about the Word of God, but that when you read it and hear it preached, that you are listening with all that is in you, because you are welcoming God into your soul. He's speaking to me. Is that the attitude we have? Are we receiving the Word of God and welcoming the Word of God as we would receive a guest into our home? In other words, if you would be transformed by the Word of God, your heart and your attitude must be, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And when we have that attitude, the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus Christ to you. Will reveal Jesus Christ to you. We need to learn to pray with the psalmist, oh Lord, open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Now, many of you know Debbie and I have spent time, our family has spent time in China. And there were two ladies in my English Bible class, using English to teach the Bible. And there were nine, but these two ladies we got close to. And one of them invited us to her home for breakfast. So, and the Chinese are very gracious people. They're very hospitable. And when you go into their home, they treat you with honor. They immediately want to give you something. And so we went into their home, this lady's home, and they consider it a privilege to be able to have you as a guest. And they want to serve you. Do you know what? There's a custom in China. It is not courteous. It's unkind. If tea is handed to you, to grab it with one hand. The custom is you humbly grab it with two hands and receive it. With humility, recognizing that it's a gift of kindness to you. That is the kind of attitude we should have to the Word of God. The Word of God is a treasure. The great treasure from Almighty God. We have the written Word, we have the living Word, Jesus. And when we open God's Word, We are to open it with all of our hearts, receive it with both hands, and give ourselves entirely to it, because it is God speaking to us, transforming us through His Word. What gives us stability as followers of Jesus Christ? It is not our feelings. It is our trust in the faithfulness of God to His Word. What holds my life together? It is the Word of God, not my feelings. Receiving the treasure of God's Word and basing my life on it. Notice what he says. He uses the word soul here. What is soul? The Greek word is psyche. The Word of God is to control our mind, our heart, our will, our emotions. And the more the Word of God controls our mind, heart, will, and emotions, the more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the more of Jesus comes out of us when we're shaken. And so James commands us through the Holy Spirit, have Holy Spirit victory by submitting your will, your mind, your emotions to God's unfailing Word. How? Read the Word repentantly. What does he say? Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. In order to be enriched by the Word of God, in order to be filled with the fullness of Jesus Christ through His Word, when we hear the Word of God preached, when it is taught, and when we read it, we must read it repentantly. Repentantly. God's Word is a mirror. It reads us. It shows us what we are really like in our souls. It shows us our sin with the promise of God's grace in Jesus Christ, so that we might not only confess our sin and be forgiven, but so that we would be strengthened by grace to remedy the sin in our life that defeats us and that keeps us from modeling truth to others. Remember the story of Lazarus? We read it in John 11, 38 through 44. And I'll ask you to follow along with me as I read it. Lazarus is dead. Jesus has delayed a few days before he comes to console Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters. And Jesus meets Mary and Martha, comforts them, weeps, but then he goes to Lazarus' tomb to raise him. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth, Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." We are all like Lazarus, spiritually speaking. We were dead in our sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, applying his word, brought us from death to life, so that we confessed our need for Christ and became followers of his. But you notice, after Lazarus has new life, he still has the old grave clothes on, doesn't he? And Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go." You can have life in Christ, but none of us have full liberty in Christ from the power of sin, from the old grave clothes of sin. Lazarus had a stench of death still on him, even though he had new life. He had the old grave clothes on, and we do too, because we have still the remnants of our stubborn, sinful nature with our particular besetting sin. And you know the word used here in James for rampant filthiness? It was a medical term used for wax in the ear. Wax that fills the ear and causes an infection. That's what sin is like. And sin needs to be confessed as we read God's word. Oh God, get me right with you through your word. You've shown me my greed. You've shown me my unbelief. You've shown me my immorality. You've shown me my lack of trust. You've shown me my lack of forgiveness. You've shown me these sins. I ask that you would cleanse me by the power of your grace so that I can hear you in your word. Because if we do not confess our sin, when the Holy Spirit makes it known to us, you will have wax in your ear and unable to hear the word of God. What do you have to do before you plant seed? You better weed the garden, so that the seed can be planted and grow. God only convicts us to send the sweet power of the Holy Spirit to assure us of his forgiveness and to enable us to overcome that sin by his grace. God, take the wax out of my ear so that I can hear you speak in your word and be changed. Then third, receive the word of God with a heart that is receptive, that a heart that is teachable. Notice what James says, with a meek heart. Now, we've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. This word meek came from a word picture of a stallion that was untamed and out of control. And in order to tame that stallion, you didn't cripple the stallion. You wanted to break him in. So you put a bridle on him. You put a bit on him. You put a saddle on him, and you break him in. You don't cripple him, you break him in. To be meek means to be teachable. Oh God, teach me from your word. I submit my will to you. That is the most important attitude to have, is, God, I submit my will to your will in your word. I revise my thinking and I am willing to revise my actions to comply with your word. And you know, when a stallion was broken in, you know what they call him? Meek. He was meek. He had become meek. He had become pliable, and he had become teachable. Remember the words of Jesus in John 7:17? He who does my will, he who does my will know the doctrine. Turn to John 7:17. If anyone wills to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. You know, you find two groups of people in the Gospels, and you find them in John. Those who are sitting quietly at Jesus' feet to learn of him, and who are willing to do God's will, Jesus' will, as he speaks. But then you find the religious leaders who are always arguing with Jesus, always arguing with the Word of God. And Paul describes some people this way. They are always wanting to say what is truth, but they are never coming to a knowledge of it. Of such, beware. In other words, is our heart submissive to the will of God? Augustine was one of the greatest minds ever, theological minds ever. And this is what he said. He established a rule that whenever he disagreed with the word of God, he always concluded, I am wrong and I need to revise my life in accordance with God's word. Receive God's word with a teachable heart. And then finally, receive God's word in obedience, responding in obedience. Notice what James 1 says. Again, James lays a great deal of stress on being doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I want God's word to bless your life. I want God's word to bless my life. I pray often for you that God's word would bless your life. For that to happen, we need to pray that we would be doers of the word. So we are to be renewed through the word of God. We are to receive the word of God in repentance. We are to receive the word of God with a heart of receptivity to the Lord, and then we are to respond in obedience. You know how James here shows us two groups of people. One group has the word of God. They read it or they hear it, but they treat it casually. He's like a man in a mirror. A man who looks in the mirror and forgets what he looks like. What's a mirror? You know, mirrors don't lie. At least a good one doesn't. It shows you when your face is dirty and it needs to be cleaned. Shows you the wrinkles. Shows you the warts. Shows you when your hair needs to be combed. Shows me every morning my whiskers and that they need to be shaved. But there have been times I've used my shaving cream and I thought I had shaved completely and washed, and here, lo and behold, there's some shaving cream on my ear. I wasn't careful enough in cleaning up, in using the mirror the right way. You know, God's mirror reveals your heart and mind. God's word reveals our need for Jesus Christ to remedy the sin in our life. And so James says, don't treat the Word of God casually. When you read it, when you hear it, and God is revealing yourself by the Holy Spirit to you, it is because God wants to construct you. It is because God wants to use your life and bless you. And blessing is discovered through obedience. Therefore, surrender to the Word of God and follow through in obedience. Go to Jesus Christ because He's the only one who can enable you to be obedient, and He will, as you surrender to the Word of God. Persevere in it. It will never fail you. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, and may our relationships overflow with the Word of God. Be renewed in the Word. Receive it with repentance. Receive it with a teachable heart. And receive it responding in obedience to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, that it is truth. We pray that through the power of Your Word, You would draw us ever more closely to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, our Father, that through Your Word, You will deepen our faith, deepen our comfort, deepen our boldness to live for You. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.